Thank you, Lord. Thank you for another day. Thank you for the opportunity to be together, to fellowship together, to worship you. Lord, I just, more than anything, want my words to be your words today, that we will hear your word and do it. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, we have this building here, and we're proud of this building, and we're thankful for this building. God gave it to us. It's paid for. There are a lot of people that can't say that. It was a gift from God. And so many wonderful things have happened within these walls. So many memories. Go back long before I made any. Have happened here. And we've also seen our share of tragedy. But Bartimaeus Baptist Temple, isn't the building. We embrace our mission. We were founded with a heart for people with disabilities. And we pursue that mission today. Everything that we do has that mission in mind. And there's still so many to reach. Our job is not done. But Bartimaeus Baptist Temple is not a mission. You are Bartimaeus Baptist Temple. The people. The church is not defined by its buildings. It's not defined by its mission. And it can only stand on one foundation, that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's made up of God's people. And so my message today is take care of God's building. Yeah, this physical structure is dedicated to the Lord. And yes, we ought to take care of it as much as possible and tend it well. But we ought to first and foremost take care of each other. Because if we don't care for this building, that is each other first, then this structure doesn't mean anything. I'll be talking today from the book of 1 Corinthians. And to provide a little context here, Paul is addressing division within the church. And in this case, he is, and you can see that in chapter 1, verse 8. But in this case, they've divided into factions. And one's behind one leader, one's behind a different leader. And, you know, based on the different things that they're saying, I guess, different things that they're doing, we don't have a lot of detail on that. But the church is divided. Some saying we're following this guy, and some are saying we're following this guy. But the thing is, all the leaders have one goal. They had one job. Paul explains this. We have different aspects of the same job, but we're not divided. And what Paul has to say about this is, you're acting fleshly. You're acting like ordinary people act. You're not supposed to be ordinary people. You're supposed to be extraordinary people. You're supposed to be people that people look to for an example. And so with that in mind, I'm going to read from chapter 3, verses 9 through 17. As he's talking, again, he's addressing the specific of the situation. So he starts out talking about himself and his fellow workers. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me, like a wise builder, I laid a foundation, and another is building on it. But each person must be careful how he builds on it. For no one can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire. And the fire itself will test the quality of each one's work. If anyone's work, which he has built on it, remains, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet only so as through fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone destroys the temple of God, God will destroy that person. For the temple of God is holy, and that is what you are. You are God's building. The church, that is the people. That's what verse 9 is telling us. It's laying on Christ the foundation. In this particular case, Paul built the church. He was one of the original people who came to that area and started this church. And he says that he did this by God's grace in verse 10. The grace that was given to him. Remember, we talked about grace for a purpose last week. He said, I received grace to perform this work. In other words, he didn't do it by himself. He did it by the grace of God. But no other foundation is going to hold up. Not tradition, not specific ministries, whatever those may be. In our church, we focus on disability ministry. Not the works that we do, though we have wonderful people doing wonderful good works. And certainly not our own pride. That's definitely not going to make a very good foundation. Only Jesus can be our foundation. So then he says, take care how you build on that foundation. Because we're all builders. You might read this and think it's only about leaders, but it's not only about leaders, you can tell. This is really about everybody who's part of the church. And all of us contribute, all of us contribute as we're able. Now for some, if you're able to show up and that's what you're able to do, bring your smiling face and God is pleased. Not everybody's work will be obvious. In fact, I think some of the hardest workers in God's kingdom often don't get noticed at all. But we need to remember, as we think about this, as we talk about this, that God's standard of measure is not the same as our standard of measure. God is looking at your heart. But the question that we can ask ourselves is what I'm doing building up, or is it tearing down? And specifically, we need to ask that question in as it relates to the body of Christ, to the people who are around us. Are we building up, or are we tearing down? And again, remember the foundation. Now, the foundation, sometimes on a building, we know this in Texas, right? We've all got cracks in our foundations in our houses. The environment that you're in sometimes can damage your foundation. And what do you have to do? You have to go and strengthen it. You have to go bolster it up and do something so that it doesn't continue to fall apart. Just living in the world will crack your foundation if you don't make an effort to keep it strong. And that's why we pray. That's why we spend time together. That's why we read our Bible. We have to keep that foundation strong. And we can build in ways that strengthen and preserve that foundation, or we can build in ways that compromise it. Just like if you build with a building and you put too much weight on the foundation, or if you build in such a way that it's unsteady. People in earthquake country understand that real well. You have to do it a certain way or it was going to fall over. But then he says that there's going to be a testing. There's going to be a testing time. The fire is going to come and test what you've built. And every church will experience this. I know some of us feel like, when does it stop? But every church will be tested at some point in some way. And we have an enemy out there who's looking for those weak spots, looking for those places that he can chip away at. But when that testing comes, he says, that's going to expose the flaws. It's going to expose what we're really doing. And it's either going to last or it's going to burn up. So what are we building with? You know, on the front of our house, you drive up to our house, if you're in there, you can see it looks like it's got stone on the front of it. You know what? That's just a veneer. I don't know if there's any real rock in that or not, but if you had any burning going on there, that stuff wouldn't last very long because it's not real. We need to be sure that what we're doing and that what we're built on is real. Now, what about some, okay, God, Paul is making a distinction here, and God, through the writing of Paul, is making a distinction here. So what about the bad builder? And does that mean that they're lost, that they're going to lose their salvation? No, he makes a point here to say, no, you know, if you don't do good work, it doesn't mean you lose your salvation. Your salvation is not based on works. But you will suffer loss. And you will suffer pain. This fire burns. And so there's a warning there. In verses 16 and 17, he gives a very clear warning. He says, you are God's holy temple. Both you individually, he talks in another place about our bodies being the temple of the Holy Spirit, not defiling the temple. Here he speaks in collectively. You collectively, we collectively are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is among us as well as in us. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, you probably hear this quoted a lot. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in their midst. And it's interesting where that is. If you look at the context of that, that's in the context of Matthew chapter 18. And one of the themes that Jesus is dealing with in that chapter is reconciliation and how you go about dealing with problems if you have a problem with somebody. And what he's just said is that you pray and that your prayer has power. The whole point of this process that he gives is you want to bring people back. You want to bring reconciliation. And your prayers are powerful. And when you're in agreement about that, he's saying, I'm with you. He's just got through saying that he's going to do it. It's in the context of reconciliation. I'm repeating myself, but I get ahead of myself, and then I got to catch up in the notes. But he says, but the warning here is don't be involved in the destruction of God's temple. He loves his people. He doesn't take kindly to somebody messing with them. A divided house, Jesus said, will fall. It can't stand. Can a Christian do this? Well, the implication seems to be yes, a Christian can do this. Unfortunately, we get deceived, we get fooled. If so, if a Christian can be in this, obviously the destruction is not of the soul, which is why he told us what he just told us. But I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a destroyer. I don't want to be aligned with the destroyer. When we're doing that, it doesn't matter how good or how righteous we think our cause is. When we're involved in that, we're in league with the devil. Don't be in league with the devil. Choose instead life and forgiveness and reconciliation. You know, we love our factions, and it's not just in the body, it's within Christendom in general. We love our factions, but factions can't get no satisfaction. In Corinth, it was around the leaders that they were dividing themselves up. But in general, just pick your topic. Whether you're dunked or sprinkled, whether you speak in tongues or whether you don't, whether you raise your hands or whether you don't, whether you dance or whether you don't, whether you, I don't want to get into that because that gets muddy, but we fight about everything. And there is a lot of times there is a right answer. Not always. Sometimes it's just a matter of preference. But a lot of times there is a right answer. And there is something right. But we have to decide what matters. And allow, just let the things go. Give other people as much grace and as much mercy as God has given you. And over the years, we've split and we've split and we've split again, often over things that just don't matter. So as churches, we all know the stories. And often what's happening in churches is there are underlying things going on that never got addressed. And so the anger gets higher, and you end up having splits. And you look at why the split happened and go, why in the world? Why would you let something like that get out of hand? It's because whatever was underneath it never got fixed. So something trivial ends up destroying the body of Christ. We're not going to let that happen. When it becomes, the problem, see, is that it becomes about us. It becomes about the way we want things to be, or the way we think it should be. And then we get crosswise with each other, and then unforgiveness sets in. And a lot of times it's our own sin that's leading us to blame others. If when it ceases to be about him, then we've got nothing left but ashes. So let's be about reconciliation. That ought always to be our goal. Remember what we said about Matthew 18. It's listed. It's like I said, I read that wrong. It is likely to involve some sacrifice. Sometimes we're going to have to give up the thing that we think is best. And just for the sake of peace, let it go and move on. You know, it's better. Paul talks about, 1 Corinthians, he talks about something else. Now, thankfully, we're not doing this, but in the Corinthian church, they were actually taking each other to court and suing each other. And Paul says, what are you doing? Why, instead of making a spectacle of yourselves and besmirching the name of Christ by behaving this way, why wouldn't you rather just be wronged? Now, this was about lawsuits, but it can be about any wrong that somebody feels that they've suffered. If it's going to cause more division, if it's going to reflect poorly on God's people, just let it go. Look to Jesus as our example. Look at what he went through for us. You think we can't handle a little bit of sacrifice? Just a little bit? We're supposed to be known by our love for each other. Jesus said, they'll know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. And we ought to take the warning to heart. Because we won't be able to stand the fire if we're not going to stand together. We'll all suffer hardship and loss. You know, someday, no matter how well we take care of this building, it'll eventually fall apart. But God's church is meant to last until he comes. And that's us. That's you and that's me. Let's take care of each other. And I know that we love each other. I see it every day. I see it in the way that people go out of their way for each other and do things for each other. I know that about this church. We love each other. Let's don't forget that when things get tough, when things get a little bit hot. Love assumes the best in people. Peter put it another way. He said, love covers a multitude of sins. Love puts others first. Let us prefer life rather than death. Because the water of life extinguishes the fires of hell. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for all that you have done. Lord, draw us together in unity. Send us forth on the mission that you have given to us to bring people into your family. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
It had been my desire to